You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. So now we're going to talk about something that's important, that's an extension of hearing God's voice, is that how do you hear God's voice? Well, anybody who is not saved hears God's voice. They hear someone speaking to them, and there's a rhema. So a person who is inspired by God through the Holy Spirit and speaks to an unsaved person, it convicts them, it touches their heart, okay? And they get baptized and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God spoke deep inside them. It's not an intellectual thing. You know, you can't really get a person to get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit intellectually. It's a God moved on thing. So God speaks to them through the Holy Spirit. He convicts men of sin. That's what the Bible says. How does he do it? He does it in conjunction with you. You are his mouthpiece. You speak, and the words you speak are influenced by him, and they have a part to play into that person's heart. They convict that person. So that shows us that an unsaved person can hear God, so can a Christian, a person who's baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you can't hear God, or you think you can't hear God, then if you pray in tongues, the law of the Spirit of life will free you from the law of sin and death. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will make you free from the law of sin and death. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is now no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk after the Spirit? You're led by the Spirit. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, pray in this manner, Father, lead us not into temptation, but lead us around evil. Okay, how are you led? You're led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you don't hear his voice, what are you? Not his sheep? No, you're his sheep if you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. You just don't have your senses exercised by reason of use. You hear God's voice before you were saved by being convicted by the Holy Spirit. You heard God's voice when you spoke in tongues, when you opened your eyes up, and when you started thinking, wow, I'm different. That's God telling you. That's the Holy Spirit inside you. A lot of people hear, everybody hears God's voice, but they don't know it because they're being told it must be a booming voice from heaven going, Fred, go over here. You know, that's just stupid. And that's bad teaching. There is the first leading of the Holy Spirit, which is like an unction or a feeling. Okay? Now, people who don't understand the things of God, they think, oh, we don't want to be led by feelings. No, we're being inspired by the Spirit. Okay? We're being inspired by this. When you have positive thinking thoughts, right? Those things come from God. I'll tell you something. In Isaiah chapter 28, it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people. As for that, saying, this is the rest where I may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. But for all that, they won't hear me, and they will go back to line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay, so, you know, when you look at those scriptures, and they're spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul uses that scripture when he speaks about speaking in tongues. And, that whole chapter, I've studied that chapter out to its nth degree, if I could possibly say that. This is how it works. God was speaking about how that teachers who are drunk and intoxicated and don't have stability in their life, teaching other people, and their tables are full of vomit. The things that they serve up to you are regurgitated rubbish. Okay? Instead, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying, this is the rest, this is the refreshing, where we may cause the weary to rest. Okay? From their own works. Right? They'll be led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. and they'll enter into the rest. They won't have to think and formulate their own ideas because the Holy Spirit will teach them. But if they don't enter into that rest because they don't pray with stammering lips and another tongue, and they continue to go back to those who will teach them vomit stuff, regurgitated junk, they'll fall back and be snared, so the Bible says. So the idea is to be led by the Holy Spirit. So we go on in Isaiah chapter 28, and he explains it even more. And he talks about the plower, how he plowed, and he talks about who gave the knowledge to the plower to plow right, and who gave him knowledge to use different seeds in different ways. So what he's saying is, in a rural setting, you know, we didn't just figure it out that we put a seed in the ground and that it'll grow. We actually had to be instructed by God. That's what it says. We're instructed by God for all aspects of life. Adam and Eve, when they went out, they sewed fig leaves together. That's the best they could do. And God went and upgraded. He gave them a greater garment. He gave them, animal skins that were more durable, because they had to change the fig leaves every half hour because they broke. I'm only joking. But what God is trying to say in Isaiah chapter 28 is all knowledge comes from God. All revelation comes from God. Okay? So all knowledge that's going to benefit you, I need to clarify that, because the enemy will feed you rubbish knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there's a tree of life which comes when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we sing, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That comes from the tree of life. It's not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is the world's knowledge. Okay, so, you know, one world's knowledge is, if I don't like you, I'm going to nuke you. I'm going to blow you off the end of the earth. That's from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Good things and bad things. Let's help people. Let's eradicate sickness. That's good. But how do we do it? We put vaccines in, and we do things naturally. And unfortunately, it just brings other byproducts and heartache. There's always side effects to man's effort. But with God, there's no side effects. Everything is pure that comes down from the Father of Lights and is good, a good gift. It's not distorted, hasn't got a sting in its tail. So, in Isaiah, the whole of Isaiah talks about man being instructed by God. So then I went and studied that out, and I said, well, God, did you speak to every single person? Well, the Lord showed me that he uses angels to instruct men. So I went through all the Bible and looked at all the different bits of angels, where angels spoke to people. And, you know, God didn't turn up. Sometimes it'll say in the Bible, and God turned up and spoke to this person. Then in Psalms, it'll say, and an angel, talking about the same thing, and an angel instructed this person to do this. So you go, oh, so God turned up. But he didn't turn up in person. He sent his angel. So that brings clarity to the picture, because I studied the Word, and the Word answers itself. Scripture answers Scripture. So, it's very simple. The Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? So what? Philip, he gets an angel, says to him, in his head, doesn't talk about an angel appearing to him, but an angel spoke to him in some way and told him to go down to this street. Okay, so Philip didn't think about it. I think I'll go down to the street. It was an angel that told him. Maybe he sat there and went, you know what, I've got a feeling that I should go down to that street. I've got a thought in my head that's really strong that I should go down to that street. So he goes down. That was an angel. And then he says, you know what, I really feel very, very moved to go and talk to that guy on that chariot. So he goes and he talks to the guy on the chariot. But the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said to him, go and speak to that guy on the chariot. You know, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to help yourself from hearing from God. You will just hear from God continually. Your thoughts will be on God, and the thoughts that you think will come from heaven, they will be heavenly thoughts. They'll be things of God. You will be motivated by God. Your inspiration will come from God. Your creativity will come from God. Okay? And your revelation will come from God. And you'll be lost in Him, and He will speak to you over and over again. I wake up in the morning, because I prayed in tongues for 5 hours a day for 5 years, right? I pray in tongues all that time, and it transformed my life. I spent 25 years Spirit-filled, and every day we prayed for about an hour or 45 minutes to an hour every day for 25 years. That kept me a little bit ahead of a lot of my brothers and sisters who were praying for 5 minutes a day or a week, right? And you could see the difference. And I didn't pray for hours every day, 3 hours or something like that. I knew it would help, but I wasn't motivated to do that because I didn't understand. But then, one day, a situation came where, you know, I had to just leave my church, and I had to do something, and I had to go to God and say, "Help me! What do I do here?" And I started praying. I prayed for 5 hours a day. I figured if I do that, God will come and tell me what to do. I'll fix things up. That was God telling me that. Right? It wasn't my own smart thinking. It was God. I wasn't inspired by my own self, although the inspiration was an accumulative thought pattern that comes from praying in tongues. So what I did is I just started praying in tongues for 5 hours a day. I picked the number that'll do 5 hours. Can I do this? Yes, I can do it. I'll go in the room and I'll sit down and I'll pray for four, and I'll do it in two lots or something. And I did that. I put my headphones on, listened to the Bible, and I just prayed in tongues. And I sat down and it went like just quick, went really quick every day. And I started getting more on fire, and I started feeling more alive because the spirit of life was flowing through me. And then all of a sudden I just left the weighty stuff that was holding me down, and it started falling off of me, and I no longer was burdened with the affairs of the church. I was walking in freedom. And then I started feeling all of this electricity, sort of, I don't know how to explain it, stuff all over me. Even my toes tingled, and I went, "What is this?" And then I was a bit hesitant to keep going, but then my mind said, okay, number one, I started praying for 5 hours a day, and a month goes by, and all of a sudden I wake up in this tingly feeling all over me. Number one, I've either got some tingly disease, or it's God. And I just asked the Lord, and He said to me, "That's me." I went, okay, so I just went forward, and it got stronger, and my understanding of God got stronger, and clarity came. So I figured that was a positive thing. So I went forward, and I kept praying. After 3 months, I was pretty well plugged in, and I was pretty sold out. I didn't know which way I was going to go, but I knew that the Lord was leading me. So He told me, started speaking to me, you know, started telling me things. And I just kept following my nose. And I would go out on the street. First off, I go up to a person. I just go up to a person, say, "Hi, my name's Tom, and I'm a Christian, and can I pray for you?" And I'd pray for him, and nothing had happened. Say, "Can you feel anything?" "Nah." I go, okay. I did that, I don't know, maybe 30 times. And I started getting really, really despondent about it. I started getting really, really frustrated. I went and I lay on my bed, and I'd go, "This is hopeless, and this is useless. This is not working." But something inside me would say, "No, you need to continue the process. It isn't finished yet." And I believe what that voice was saying into me, I knew it was God, because it was clear, and He was telling me to keep going and just to be faithful to the program that I set myself on. So I got up and I prayed for another 5 hours, and I kept going. And then all of a sudden, one day, I started saying to people, "Can I pray for you?" And they'd say, "Yes." And I'd pray for them, and I said, "Do you feel anything?" And they'd say, "Yes, I feel something all over me." And I started feeling like there was hope. And then I started praying more, started seeing people healed. Then I started praying more, and then I started going up to people and saying, I started feeling the Holy Spirit saying, that person. So I'd go up to that person and say, excuse me, but the Lord's told me that he wants to speak to you. And they'd go, okay. And I'd go, this is amazing. And I'd pray for them, and they'd feel something. And I'd say to them, that's God. And they'd start crying. And I'd go, that's amazing. That never happened before. So then I started praying again, over and over again, going out, and it got more stronger. By reason of use, I had my senses exercised, and I learned to discern what was dead and what was alive. What was a dead-end act and what was a live act. All I had to do was pray in tongues, get full of God, and he led me to everybody. It was no longer hit, miss, lucky dip, you know, I'll speak to 30 people and maybe one person will actually listen. No, it started getting more and more. It's like popcorn. You put popcorn in the microwave, you press the button, and nothing happens. Then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, popcorn starts popping. And a little bit more, then boosh, it just pops all at once. That's what happened to me. It was like popcorn. And I just went out and just kept praying. And, you know, I thought, this is a good thing that I have found. So I started praying and building myself up in my most holy faith. And the Holy Spirit said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing where I will cause you, the weary, to rest. You will no longer have to go down dead alleys, dead ends, knock on doors, speaking to people who don't want to know me. I'll send you to those who actually want to know me. I said, well, what about all the other ones? He said, I'll send other people to them who are operating in the 30 or 60 or operating in the good and perfect will, so the good and acceptable will of God. Now I want you to walk in the perfect will of God, and I want you to show people how they can come out of the good, acceptable, and into the perfect will of God. I want to show you how to teach people how to not accept a 30, a 60, but a 100-fold. And how would they do that? They'd plough their field. Up and down, getting rid of all the stones, getting rid of all the thorns that are going to grow up and choke them, plowing their field up and down, revelation, opening up their eyes to the stones. Oh, here's a stone. Let's gather them up and throw them out of the field. Oh, here's some thorn seeds. Let's gather them up so they don't choke the word and throw them out of the field. Let's burn them with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. You know, a dove landed on Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, landed on us to burn up all that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus. Everything that opposes itself above Jesus Christ gets attacked by the fire of the Holy Spirit and burns them up with unquenchable fire, right? So you plow your field years, weeks, and you find all the stones, and there's no more thorn seeds, and then all of a sudden your field is clean, and you throw the seed in, and all of a sudden it brings forth not 30, not 60, but 100-fold. Now, that's the deal. That's how it works. So if you pray in tongues, you might do the good, and then later on the acceptable, but then you'll move into the perfect will of God. And you'll hear God every time. And as you go about your day, you just will be thinking about God all day because you're lost in him. You're speaking to him and he's speaking to you. And you're having a conversation in your mind with God. And then all of a sudden, he stops in the middle of the conversation and says, see that person? I want you to speak to them. And I'm going to give you the words that are going to come out of your mouth. Just like Jesus said, when you get chucked in jail because of persecution, don't even think of the words you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to say in that moment, because he's your helper. He's your paraclete. That means like a lawyer who comes before the judge and says, he says to you, do this, do this, do this. He helps you, right? He ministers to you. Okay, so he's going to help you get the job done. He says, we need to get this person into the kingdom of God. So we've got a process. And he says, go over and speak to that person. You go over and you say whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to say. I mean, you can make it up. There's the good, acceptable, but eventually after you pray yourself into the perfect will of God, everything that comes out of your mouth will be inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, and it won't come back void. Not at all. Not one of his words, his inspired words, his rhema words, will come back void. It will perform its target. It will perform what it is been assigned to do. To touch men's hearts, to convict them of sin, to give them hope. When I speak to unsaved people, I put my hands on them and I pray for them, and I command darkness to leave them, and I command life to flow into them. I command the revelation of Jesus Christ to invade their thoughts, and then I just bless them, and I take my hands off of them, and they look at me and they're crying. Right? And they can feel the effects instantaneous of the transformation of them. The Holy Spirit is going to work in transforming them and bringing them unto repentance, because the goodness of God draws men unto repentance. God fills them with some joy. He fills them with some love. He fills them with some hope. And he fills them saying, I've got the answer. If you'll only listen to this person I've sent, and they look at you and they know it's God. And I give them my phone number and say, ring me up when you're ready to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I see them a week later, 2 weeks later, they ring me up. 3 weeks later, they say, I can't stop thinking about Jesus, about God. I say, I know, because God's trying to capture you. He wants to bring you into the kingdom. And they seem to know what I'm talking about. And they haven't read their Bible. Whatever, it's the Holy Spirit. And I say, you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. They go, okay. I go around to the house, Donna and I pray over them, bang, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I baptize them in the pool, down the river, in a creek, at the ocean, in the bathtub, whatever. You know, anything that's appropriate. And then I get them praying in tongues. And then I try and put them in a fellowship that I can find. That's it. Okay? The Lord's told me this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to run a church, so to speak, at this time. He may want me later on, but this time, at this moment, in this present hour, this is what God has asked me to do. To get full of Him and to go out and demonstrate the anointing and teach the anointing. So I pray for people, they get healed, they get full of God, they get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I'd show them that if they pray in tongues, they can replicate in whatever manner God has prescribed for them. And they go out, they pray in tongues for hours every day, and they get full of God, and they start praying for people, and they get healed. They say, this is amazing, Tom. I said, yep. They're only like 6 months, 3 months in the Lord, and they're seeing all this stuff happening. And then I get people who are 10 and 20 years in the Lord, and I tell them about what I've been doing, and some of them go, nah, it's all rubbish. I've never seen that. And I say to them, well, this is what I do. And some of them go, yeah, because they've got ears to hear and eyes to see. Jesus said to his disciples, these Pharisees don't have ears to hear and eyes to see because they're blind. And even Christians can be blind to the move of God. It's very sad. But if they pray in tongues, that blindness will go away and they will hear God's voice saying, you can do this too. Some people, they see it, they're ready. So what I do is, I don't waste my time with people who are unsaved. I don't say, Lord, just don't send me to just the nobodies. Send me to the ones who are calling out for you, who you prepared, who you have marked. And so I just pray in tongues and I'm on my merry way through every day and whatever. And the Lord says to me, that person. And I know, because I've had my senses exercised, because I've done it 100 times, and it's worked 100 times, right? When you sit on a chair, and it holds your weight 100 times, 101 is not really much of a stretch of faith. So I go down there, I go to them, and I look at them, and I say, very simply, hi, my name's Tom, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and I tell you, I've seen some wonderful things. You know, I'm doing my windows. I'm a window washer. And I'm washing my windows and I can see a person in the window on the footpath, you know, in the reflection looking at me. So So it's a progression of things. First, it was a hit and miss. Then the popcorn started popping. I started seeing healings. And then he'd say, go to that person. And I'd speak to that person. And they'd say yes. And it would be like 95% all the time. And then it moved to another level. So I'm standing, doing my windows, and I see a reflection of someone standing on the footpath, because I'm on the footpath cleaning the windows, and they're staring at me, just 5 feet away. I turn around, I look at them, and they're just staring at me, right? And I look at them, and I look into their eyes, and I say, I'm a Christian, and I'm full of God. And they look at me and start crying. That's not natural. That's not normal. That's God. Because I prayed in tongues, with stammering lips and another tongue, I entered into the rest, the refreshing, where he caused me to rest. Okay? I don't have to do too much. God does it all for me. He even sets them up. They even stand there looking at me. And I say, you know what you see on me? That's God. Now, a normal person would say, what are you talking about, mate? Or, get lost. Or, who are you? Or, whatever. No. They look at me with gobsmacked eyes sometimes. Some of them cry. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They just, tears come out of their eyes. And I walk over to them, and I say, it's okay. He wants to secure your soul. And they just know what I'm talking about. I just go up to them, and I say, I don't have a standard stuff. I just say whatever the Holy Spirit tells me. And it's not a big lot of stuff. It's just short sentences. And the power of God touches their heart. I say stuff like, it's okay. Jesus wants to know you. And they just start crying more. I say, it's okay. And they're on the footpath. Or they're in the shopping center. People walking around. And I say to them, can I pray for you? And they don't go, oh, can we go outside behind a bush? Can we go and sit in my car? Can we go home and do... No, they don't do that. They all the time. All the time they say, okay, as if this is my moment. Oh, man, if I knew this, when I came to the Lord in 84, I'd be on my knees praying for hours and hours every day, getting hot, full of the Holy Spirit. Instead, I knocked on thousands and thousands of doors. I've been out on the street for years singing songs with guitars and handing out pamphlets. And, oh, you know, look, I did that. And I did it because I wanted to serve the Lord. But the Lord showed me the perfect will. He showed me the hundredfold. And I thought, this is better. So I teach people the hundredfold. Some of them just go to the... They don't go to the good, they go to the acceptable. And they bounce back and forth between the acceptable and the perfect. Some of them bounce back and forth between the 30 and the 100. But some really get it. They really get it. And they have nothing to do with 60 and 30-fold, good, acceptable. They only want the 100. They pressing big time to the towards the mark of the high calling. Those people... I call them true believers. The Lord shows me where I can go into a church and I look at all these people and he says to me, see that one there? He's a true believer. See that one there? He's a true believer. Don't go near that one. He's problems. He'll bring you undone as quick as you can look at him because he's full of unbelief. Or that woman there. And he'll say, see that person there? They're sad because of this. Or see that person there? They've just had this happen to them. Or see this person here? They've got arthritis. See that person there? They've got schizophrenia and they're really trying to deal with this situation. And I need you to go over and speak to them. So I just make my way through them. And I say, hi. I say, my name's Tom, and Jesus told me to pray for you. And whatever happens, happens. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I could go on and on about all the stuff I've seen. It's just wonderful. I prayed for people, and they couldn't stand up. Their legs starting to fall in from underneath them, and I said, that's okay. That's the power of God. And they have to sit down on a seat, and they look at me. And I tell you what, when you're full of God, and you start doing godly stuff with God enacting the whole situation, when he's running the whole show, it's all about light. And he lets you in on it, and he lets the other person you're ministering to in on it. And all they have to do is exercise their will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in. God doesn't kick the door in. The Holy Spirit doesn't kick the door in. Unsaved people are the most easiest to minister to, because they've never been to church. They're never told the lies that, oh, God only heals people on Wednesdays and Thursdays and not on Fridays or Saturdays. Or if you go to church on a Saturday, the people who go to church on Sunday are heathens and losers, and they're all being sucked in by the Catholic Church, and that the Catholic Church changed or everything, or that tongues have ceased, or that healing doesn't exist. They haven't been told any of this junky stuff. Right? They just don't know anything about God. So when you tell them, you could tell them God's green and orange with blue polka dots, and well, I don't do that, but they might believe it because they don't know. You don't exploit their ignorance. Their ignorance is a benefit to them because they don't have anything to guard. You know, if you've got $1 million in the bank or in your house and you don't even know that it's even worth anything, if you don't know what $1 million means, you're not going to lock your doors. But you know what? If you've had your heart broken, if you're a Christian and you've had your heart broken, and you've been down the front and you've had people pray for you, and nothing's happened, and nothing's happened, and nothing's happened, then I can understand how you would start to think negative thoughts. I don't think God's really as big as I see in the Bible. I don't think he's going to heal me because somebody said my sin's too great or whatever. Or God doesn't like me or whatever. And then when I come to them, they're a bit more difficult. People who are Christians or have gone to church, you know, when I go to pray, I say to them, you know, God wants me to speak to you. They look at me and they say, oh, and I say, listen, you know, this is what I do. And straight away, I tell them my testimony. I said, look, you know, I pray for people and they get healed of this, this, and this. And, you know, I pray in tongues. And they, for some reason, know this guy's the real deal. This guy's put some effort in. This guy has plowed his field. This guy has gone after God. Maybe something's going to happen. And God reaches into their door that's all locked up with 14 locks on it and 200 fridges up against it and a big block of cement, right? And he gently opens a little crack and he floods into their life a little through the little crack. And then when they see the light flooding through, they go, Jesus is here. They pull the block of cement away real fast. They rip all the locks off and they fling open the door. It's a two-stage thing. And then the power of God flows into them. Or it might be a three-stage thing. But with people who are unsaved, who have never been to church, it's usually a one stage. They get more from God on the first prayer than the Christians. Christians need to be ministered. You've got to show them Greek words and Hebrew words, and you've got to show them slides, and you've got to go through 30 scriptures. That's bad. That's prophetically bad. Okay? Christians have got to be convinced that God can do stuff for them more than unsaved people because they're not in unbelief. That's the key thing, unbelief. They used to believe, but they don't believe anymore because of life's situations. And their thoughts in their head said to them, you're unworthy. So when I lay my hands on them, things happen. All the shame and the guilt of being able to stand before God runs away. That's what happens when I lay my hands on people. Depending on how far they'll open the door up. Unsaved people, when I put my hands on them, the shame and the guilt runs away. They didn't even know they had it. They know they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. But God convicts them and says, you're out of phase with me. Listen to this man. He'll bring you into phase. He'll bring you into alignment. And they go, okay. And I say to them, do you feel that? And they say, yes. I say, that's God. And they're just like gobsmacked. These are unsaved people. You know, it does happen with Christians, but a little bit more. I have to minister them for maybe another 2 minutes. Okay, that's about it. But unsaved people, it's like instant. 3 minutes of going up and talking to them, maybe a minute. Okay, that quick, all the time, all the time. And I put my hand on them, I pray over them, and they look at me, and I like the look on their face, because I tell them, hold your hands out, close your eyes, and receive from God. They don't know what that means, but I suppose they have something, but they haven't got something to stop them. Their door is off the hinges, because they've never been hurt, and they haven't got their little heart protected from God's stuff. Because some bad teacher, pastor, minister, religion, church told them lies, which hindered them from flowing into the promises of God. So I pray for them. And I just, basically, I do a two-stage thing. I put my hand on them and I pray over them and I command darkness to leave them, which is the enemy's influence. And I command light to flow into them, which is God's influence. And then I speak the love of God over them, which is the Holy Spirit's influence. And then I command their mind to be full of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the spiritual influence of transformation of a soul. And they start to realize that they are not right with God. But what comes through to them is not, you're a sinner and you're going to hell and I hate your guts. God doesn't say that usually. He says to them, I love you and I am trying to connect with you. And will you please connect with me? That's what he does. And they go all gooey from God, from the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I get people who are hard nuts and I say, I just pray over them. And the Holy Spirit, he sicks them. He goes after them with a big stick. That's a different one. Okay, but you know, most of them, you know, when I pray to the Lord, I say, Lord, send me to your sheep, send me to the ones who are ready. And he sends me to the ones who are ready, because he's been looking over all mankind. He says, I've been preparing this soul. And this soul has been on their knees or standing up or sitting at the end of the bed, and they didn't even know anything about it. And they probably had their hands in a little, like a little praying position, like you see in churches. And they go, dear God, whoever you are, will you please just show me if you're really there? I don't know who you are. This is my last chance. I've got cancer, Lord, or I've got sickness and I don't know what to do. They didn't even call him Lord. They go, God, will you help me with this? I don't even know if you're there, but if you're there, will you help me? And then I come along and I go to them and say, hi. You know, the Lord told me that you got schizophrenia and you're at the end of your rope and God wants to, he wants to help you and deliver you from your schizophrenia. That day. They react real quick. That's God. That's the way I walk. And I get all of this stuff and I don't have to do a lot of work. I just sit at home, pray in tongues, think about God, enjoy myself in God, rejoice in the Lord, walk around in happy mode all day, thinking about God, hearing him talking to me and ministering to me about the baptism, about the laying in of hands, about how unbelief works, how sin works and how to deal with this and how strategies for this. And, oh, yes, okay, praise the Lord. I said to the Lord, how am I going to remember all this stuff? Because, you know, I wake up in the morning sometimes at 3 a.m. and the presence of God is over me and my mind is full on thinking about God before I even realize I'm awake. And he's talking to me for 3 hours and I'm laying in the presence of God. And I'm saying, and then the rest of the day I'm chewing over everything he downloaded to me. I say to him, how am I going to remember all this stuff? There's so much. And he said to me, don't worry about it. It's being deposited into your spirit. And then when you need it, it'll come. It'll come from the spirit. And there will be times when you haven't even had a chance to even ponder on these things. You'll be speaking to people in their lives about spiritual things that you've never even thought about, but you'll know their spiritual actions, their answers to a spiritual problem, to a natural problem. And you'll be as amazed as them. And some, you'll be speaking and inspired by the things that I have had you ponder over for hours on end about. And that it'll flow out and it'll be orchestrated by the Holy Spirit and it'll come out in such a way that it'll touch that person's heart straight away. You don't need to think about a thing. You don't need to worry about well-thought-out arguments or well-thought-out debates or lots and lots of scriptures. All you have to do is just get full of me, and when we work together, I'll do the talking through you. I said, that's good. I like that. What have I got to do, Lord? Just stay full of God and always keep your heart soft towards God so that you will always say yes. So when he says to you, when he says to me, go up to that bikey guy or those bikies standing on the street with their bikes, go up to them and look them in the face and say, hi, you know, Jesus, I'm a Christian and, you know, I love Jesus. And, you know, if you had a chance to think about it, you say, I'm not doing that. If I go up to these bikies and I say to them, stand on the footpaths, there's four of them or so, I can remember about four, and I said, listen, the Lord, I'm a Christian, the Lord's told me that he wants to speak to one of you. And I look at them and I say, it's you. And I point my finger at them. And they'll look at me. And the other guys will stand and step away. They won't go, what are you talking about, mate? Do you want a chain over your head? They didn't say that. They just step away. A little bit, a foot or a little bit away. Oh, man, it's so easy. This is just so good. And all I do is I look that guy in the face and I say, you know, Jesus. Oh, I say, you know, Jesus loves you and he wants you to know him. And the other bikey guys are standing looking at me, not hindering me whatsoever, because the kingdom of God is operating around me. And I look at that bikey guy and he just goes to jelly. And I say, can I pray for you? And he goes, yes, please. And then I put my hand on him in front of these other biker guys and I start praying over him. And then all of a sudden I look at him and I say, hey, what do you, I said, do you feel that? And he goes, yes. Because they don't know what it is. I said, that's God. And they go, oh. And then I look at the other biker guys and say, what do you reckon? And they're like dismayed. And they don't ever bother me. They don't ever try to stop me. They didn't ever try to stick their nose in it, because God is in on the whole thing. And I'm walking in his perfect will, and nobody can get in the way of his perfect will. So I just do what that. I never ever make it up myself. Never ever try to do my own stuff. That will crash and burn. If I just find some bikies, walk up to them and say, excuse me, Jesus told me he wants to speak to one of you, so are you, I'll get bashed. So I'm very careful. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, then just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.